We would count it a privilege to make sure you have a Bible. Just raise your hand. The ushers are walking down with pencils in hand. Give you a pencil if you need one. And in particular, they have Bibles. So just raise your hand. They'll pass the Bible over to you. And if you need it to keep, it's all yours, of course. There's no charge for it or anything. We want you to have it. Take it. Wear it out. Pass it on to someone who needs it. But for all of us, we're in Daniel chapter 6. We travel to the Bible around here. Lord willing, we'll gather tonight at 6 o'clock to travel through, hopefully, at least a couple of chapters of Daniel as we travel through the Bible together, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But this morning, we're going to take a look at Daniel chapter 6. We, of course, come to a well-known portion of Scripture. If you were raised in the church, you've heard about this, probably one of the first Bible stories you heard, which we're about to read. But unfortunately, sometimes familiarity can cause us to kind of shut down. What possibly new could be said about this? Well, for some, it may not be new. It might just be a reminder. But it isn't just a children's story. It's actual events that happened, but also recorded for us. So let's come at it with a sense of, Lord, show me something. Show me something fresh in this. There's something you've got here for me this morning. It might be an oldie, but it's an oldie but goodie. And Lord, we need to hear what the Lord has for us in this portion of Scripture. Daniel 6, start at verse 16. Daniel 6:16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Daniel, from the very get-go, a young man, now a very old man, but steadfast in his commitment to the Lord. And because of it, another temptation to compromise is set before him. A group of people are out to get him killed. A den full of lions. But through it all, Daniel stays the course. What opened the door for God to do this awesome work that, as I said, we've heard about for so long and has been an encouragement to so many of us? What opened the door for God to do the awesome work he does here in Daniel 6? Look at verses 22 and 23 again. "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found in him. Now notice, because he believed in his God. Are you facing a lion's den? Are you facing some consequences because of your stand for the Lord? You know, I was going to call our time together this morning Lions for Pillows. But because I don't know how well, I guess we could all probably follow that. But I chose to go with this for our title for this morning, Faith in the Face of Lions. Let's pray. Father, Lord, what an awesome, awesome testimony And what an encouragement this is for us, that you're with us in all that we go through, that you're faithful towards us. You don't leave or forsake us. And thank you, Lord, that you know what we are facing or will be facing. So, Lord, we know this is written for us. Lord, how I pray that this morning there would be that ministry to that one who perhaps is in the midst of a severe trial. Or maybe very shortly is going to come along something to potentially shake them, Lord. We're just saying, Lord, thank you that we can know these things. We can heart know them. There's a foundation. There's a rest. So, Lord, would you now just take this very familiar portion of Scripture, but would you just once again drive home to our hearts that which you brought us here for? So, Lord, by your Holy Spirit now, speak, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to verse 16 again with me. Verse 16 begins, "So the king gave the commandment, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." What got Daniel into this circumstance? Go back to the beginning of the chapter for a moment. We need to set the stage, so to speak. We need to understand the context. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 6 here. You remember that Daniel had long ago been taken captive to Babylon, back when he was probably fairly young teens, early teens. But now, it is almost near the end of the 70 years of captivity. The Babylonians have been conquered by the Medo-Persians. Darius, the leader of the Medo-Persians, is now ruling. So Daniel is quite old. But look at verse 1. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom." In other words, they've conquered it. He's got to set up the government now, this new government. "To set over the kingdom 120 satraps, rulers, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" Because Daniel had the Holy Spirit working in him in a mighty way, he had found favor with this new ruler. And so he's one of the leaders set over all the other leaders as they set up the new government. And because he was so highly favored, the king is weighing whether he should just go ahead and get everything into Daniel's care. Just let him run the whole thing. Well, this, of course, brings up the jealousy of these other leaders. And they say, "Hey, we got to do something about this." So they try to find some way to bring a charge against him. But he was faithful in carrying out his duties and all, and they couldn't find any fault. And so they recognize there's only one way they're going to trap Daniel, only way they're going to trip him up, and that is if we can find something against him concerning the law of his God, concerning his faith, his walk with the Lord. That's the only thing, he says, we're ever going to be able to get him on. Well, verses 6 through 9 recount how these leaders come up with this idea. They go to Darius and they say, "Look, you are just such a, you know, live forever king, and here's what we think, king. You should pass a decree, king, that says that no one should go to or seek help from or ask anything of any god or any man other than you for 30 days. You should be the only one they come to." And it's a way of flattering the king, you know, and making him seem like, "Hey, you're the number one guy here," and all. And so indeed, he passes this decree that no one can pray to anybody or go to anybody else for anything except the king. In essence, as far as Daniel's concerned, it's an attempt to outlaw prayer, is the idea. So the decree is passed. Now look at verse 10. This is an awesome, awesome verse. So seemingly basic and yet so deep, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. We learn a whole lot about him there. Though the decree has been passed, he's not going to compromise his prayer life, his relationship, his communion with God. Look at the statement, with his windows open towards Jerusalem. That provides us a window into the secret, if you want to call it a secret, behind Daniel's strength and his peace, his wisdom. For we read that he prayed here, not something new. He didn't say, you know what, I'm really going to stick it in their face. I'm going to start praying now. No. His windows were already open. And it says, as was his custom since early days. Though Daniel knew of the decree, he wasn't going to change his practice of prayer and spending time with the Lord. So he didn't choose to go out and stick it in their face. He just kept it up. He showed also he wasn't going to back off. But rather, he would just go about his walk with the Lord. And notice, the temptation here, created by this decree, was not a temptation to commit some gross sin, nor was it a temptation to commit some act of idolatry. Rather, it was simply a temptation to let his fellowship with the Lord slide a little bit. Just back off for a little while, Daniel. If you'll just kind of back off praying for a month, their whole plot will come to nothing. What's the big deal here? Just let it slide for a while. The Lord would understand. It'll be okay. But he was not about to do that. Now notice the direct context here. Daniel is going to wind up in the lion's den because of his relationship with the Lord, because of his stand for the Lord. But because of the fact that he had a walk that was a vibrant, healthy walk with the Lord, because he made it a practice to spend time with the Lord daily, because of this active prayer life and all, he's going to get into this situation. But interesting, his enemies knew that about him. If we're going to catch him, we have to catch him in this way. Because we know one thing, he won't compromise when it comes to his walk with the Lord. If they made this decree today, would they find us in violation of it? There was, I don't know if it was a bumper sticker years ago or where it was originally I saw it, but you probably heard it, but it's a good question to think about, and that is this. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. Would they find enough evidence to convict you? They knew they could on Daniel. Our prayer should be, yeah, Lord, and may they always be able to see you in me, Lord, and may they always be able to find enough evidence to convict me of belonging to you. But Daniel's life revolved around his relationship with the Lord. This time with the Lord was a consistent part of his life. It tells us, as was his custom since early days. Now, as I said, he's up there, probably 80, 90 years old by now. But since his youth, he had spent time with the Lord. He was in charge of a lot of people, a lot of things, and could have said, well, my duties just can't allow for this. No, he knew that only in God did he have the wisdom and strength to do what he was called to do. And so he would do it consistently. But notice, we learn here that when our lives are centered in God, then we can leave the circumstances of our lives up to him. If I rush off into my day in my power and my strength, my, I was going to say wisdom, but or lack thereof, it's going to be a rough day. Certainly an unfulfilling day compared to what God would have for me if I'll just remember to seek him and put him first throughout the day. when we keep that place of closeness with the Lord, is the idea here, then we can trust Him for the details of our lives. You see, when we step out from underneath His covering, then we just open ourselves up to get leveled by our circumstances. And we wonder, why have I wound up in this situation? But when I keep Him in His rightful place in my life, then I can trust Him whom I place my faith in. That's what Daniel is found doing here. Look at verse 10 again. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. In his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, at the dedication of the temple, many, many years before, Solomon had spoken about, he said, and when they indeed go into captivity, interesting that he had said that way back then, he said, but when they turn and pray towards you, meaning Jerusalem, the house that God had built there and all, then Lord, hear their prayer. And so that's why Daniel is doing this. He was responding to that which God had said. Turn and pray towards Jerusalem is the call. For us today, it's not about praying in some horizontal direction. When you're at home, you don't have to say, now, where's Calvary Chapel? I think it's about there. I think I'll pray towards Calvary Chapel. You don't have to do that. Get out your compass. Let's see. We don't have to pray towards a Mecca somewhere. We don't have to pray towards Jerusalem. Our prayer is not to be worried about where we're... It's not a horizontal direction. But, of course, it's vertical. It's who we're praying to is the idea. Our Father who art in heaven. And so our prayers are vertical. And he was on his knees. Now, praying on your knees are a good way to pray. Don't get me wrong. But it's not the position of our body. Got to get my clicker here. It's not the position of our body that really, of course, is the key aspect. It's the position of our heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So it's not the position of our body. It's the position of our heart. It's not where I pray aimed horizontally, but where I pray vertically. Who I'm praying to and what He finds in me, the position of our heart. Remember what Jesus said, the woman at the well? She said, well, you people, the Jews, you pray in Jerusalem, but we pray on this mountain and all and all. And so Jesus responds, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So it's something to be real. It's something not aimed that direction on the horizontal, but aimed up. It's the condition of our heart. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's read what happens next. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Ah, we've got him now. Well, they knew this about him. That's why they set it up. They knew they would catch him at this. Sure enough, they just watch. He goes out, and that very day, he does what he's done every day. He prays. And so they run and tell the king. To summarize these next few verses, they go and they tell the king, and he finally goes, oh, he figures out what they've done to him. He regrets his decree. But see, in the Medo-Persian law, even the king can't go back on a decree. So it tells us he tries to get out of it, but he can't, and so he must act on it. Daniel must be thrown into the lion's den. That brings us to verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke. Now remember, he'd found favor with the king. The king liked Daniel. And the king says, your God, whom you serve continually, He will deliver you. Was there some faith in the king? Commentators don't know. We don't know. Because later on, he's going to go, did you make it? Maybe he'd heard about how Daniel's three friends long ago had been delivered from the fiery furnace somehow, but he does say, throw him into the den. But hang in there, Daniel. Your God who you serve, He'll take care of you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, The king seals it. The other lords seal it so nobody can tamper with it, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now notice about the king here. The king has a rough night. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. From all indications, the king had a whole lot worse night than Daniel. That's what I said. I thought about calling this Lions for a Pillow. For all we know, Daniel had I imagine a lion that's being cooperative could probably be a pretty soft little pillow. He just curled up there with him and sacked out. Meanwhile, the king's tossing and turning all night long. You can have peace in the midst of your lion's den when you recognize and you have faith in him, in the Lord. And that's what Daniel had. Again, probably a much more peaceful night than the king had. So he's tossing and turning. But he gets up early in the morning, it tells us, verse 19, and went in haste to the den of lions. And he came to the den. He cried out with a lamenting voice, a sad voice. He's afraid of what he's going to find. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, has your God been able to deliver you from the lions? What's he going to hear? Is he going to hear all the lions going, nope? What's he going to hear? Silence. Again, the crunching of bones. What's he going to hear coming out of there? He was upset. He's been up all night. Sleep escaped him. He gets up early, runs over, Daniel, did you make it? And he listens. And out comes the voice, O king, live forever. Well, we hear the king basically go, yoo-hoo! Okay, that's a paraphrase. But he's excited, it says. Daniel goes, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. I haven't done anything wrong to you. I've been faithful to you. My whole thing here is simply that I was praying. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Daniel, did you make it? What do you hear from Daniel? Does he go, but hurry, get me out? Yeah, I made it this far, but these guys are looking hungry all of a sudden. No. Matter of fact, he begins, live forever, king. And then what's he do? Again, not, get me out. My God. He begins to praise God. He's still there in the lions, but he begins to praise God. My God's done this. Their mouths are shut. And I know who did it, because he sent an angel. He sent an angel to be with me. I wasn't alone in it. There's been a couple of us down here in the den all night. He sent an angel and he shut the lion's mouth. So he's praising God. It's the king who says, get him out. Daniel doesn't go, quick. You're down there crawling the wall and help. He's down there praising God. The king goes, get him out. So he lifts him out. And they look him over. Not a bite, not a scratch. Why? Because he believed in his God. Now we come to an important reminder for all of us. There is something our Lord is looking for from us. Something he desires to find in this relationship we have with him. Does he come demanding perfection today, that you're complete? Even Paul said, hey, I haven't arrived yet. I want to get there, but I'm pressing on. But I'm not perfect yet. What does he come to find? Does he come to find us never in any struggles or trials? No, he doesn't come expecting that. But what is it he seeks when the Lord comes to us? What the Lord seeks is, Hebrews 11, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember what it said? Daniel was delivered what? Because he believed in his God. And it tells us, the Lord doesn't come asking you to have already arrived yet, but he does come saying, but do you trust me? Will you have faith in me? Oh, yes, we want all those other things. We want the fruits of the Spirit, the love and all these. We want them to work in our lives. So there's a lot that kind of should be going on in the believer's life. But an important ingredient in this whole process, this whole thing he comes looking for in me and you, is faith. Will you just trust me in that circumstance? The Baseball Hall of Fame is where? Some of you guys must know. Cooperstown. The Football Hall of Fame. I believe it's in Canton, Ohio. Is that right? Now, this I'm not sure about. How about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Is that Detroit? Where is that? Wherever it is, I don't know. Well, man has different Hall of Fame, right? Well, there's a sort of Hall of Faith, and you know about it, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, God gives an accounting of those who by faith, it says by faith they this, by faith they this, by faith they this. And it talks about all God did in them and through them. But the means by which he did it was faith. All imperfect people, all in various places in their walk and in their struggles and everything. But all throughout history up to that recording there in Hebrews 11, this record of the Hall of Faith. Well, amongst those, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 32 and 33. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and what? Stopped the mouths of lions. Who through faith stopped the mouth of lions. Though he isn't mentioned by name, it's a pretty sure thing, and almost all commentators agree, that this, of course, is referring to Daniel. And here we read what was the deciding factor in this whole thing. The means, if you will, by which these lions' mouths were stopped. It says, by faith, the lion's mouth were stopped. Because he believed in God. Because he trusted God. Because he had faith in God, the lion's mouth were stopped. Notice also this. Was Daniel delivered from going into the den of lions? That's what we most often pray, right? Lord, keep me from the lion's den. And we say, Daniel was delivered from the lions. That is true, but notice, he wasn't delivered from going into the lion's den. He was delivered through the lion's den. So often we pray, Lord, keep me from a trial. Keep me from the persecution. Keep me from the lion's den. And in his grace and mercy, he does, and oftentimes he does, and we probably don't even know about it. But Daniel's testimony was how God protected him through the circumstance, through the lion's den. Though he was a man greatly beloved by God, he still found himself in a lion's den. Why is God allowing this? Why is he putting me through this? Well, think about it. Indeed, let's read about it. Let's look at the outcome of this. Go to verse 25 now. We haven't read it. After the king finds Daniel well, he has all the accusers thrown in with the lions. Then in verse 25, then King Darius wrote, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. Now watch. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. And how did the king know this? Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. If Daniel never goes into the den, then it doesn't become a testimony to the king and all these people. Make sure you see that. Daniel wasn't delivered from going into the lion's den. It was only by going through all of this that God got the glory. It was only after, and it's so awesome, it was only after the night in the lion's den that the answer to, is God able to deliver you from the lion's mouth, only after going through the night in the den could there be the resounding answer, yes, God is able. We could be so anxious that God would deliver us from our situations rather than through the situations. Does God sometimes calm the storm like he calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Sometimes. But other times he calms me in the storm and sees me through the storm. But either way, he's with me, never leave me, never forsake me, and he gets the glory as he causes things to unfold. You see, if God always just kept us from things, then the temptation for us and certainly for others would be what? Oh, it never would have happened anyway. Oh, we were worried about nothing. That's often certainly the world's viewpoint. Well, it didn't happen anyway. But by going into it and then taking me through it, then we can say God is able to deliver. It becomes a much greater testimony in and through the situation when the Lord brings us through it. What is faith? If faith is what brought, if it was by faith that the lion's mouth were stopped, then what is faith? Paul, speaking of Abraham, this is always a good working definition. Speaking of Abraham, he said, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. There comes back to it again. Will I just believe him in the face of it? In the face of this lion's den, will I trust him? Will I allow him to strengthen me in faith, giving glory to God? Will he find me giving glory to God in it? No, we are not promised that we will be delivered from every trial. Not everyone is delivered in a miraculous way. In Hebrews 11, when it counts all those men and women, the hall of faith, if you read through it, many were delivered, but many died in their faith. They were sawn asunder, it talks about, and all the things that many went through. So from a worldly viewpoint, we'd say, well, wait a minute, they weren't delivered from that. But if you go towards the end of Hebrews 11, it says, but they all obtained a good testimony. God used every single one of them. And it was his design and his purposes to have it go exactly like he had it go. H.A. Ironside, a good Bible commentator, says, it may not always please God to deliver from the trial, but he will always preserve in it and eventually bring his own in peace out of it. Paul, in 2 Timothy 4, writes this, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he's saying it's the Lord who has strengthened him, has preserved him, has delivered him. He says, and he will deliver me from every evil work. Awesome statement. But an interesting thing is this. Paul had just said, we're in 2 Timothy 4, 17 and 18. Right before this, go back to verse 6. He says, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about ready to go home. I'm about ready to do what this world calls die. It's really just leaving this tent behind. But I'm about ready to die. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. What am I saying? Paul, near the end of the letter, second letter, gets ready to go home. And he says, God will deliver me. He's delivered me up till now, and he'll keep delivering me. But Paul, you're talking about you're going to die soon. See, Paul didn't define being delivered as simply always getting out of things. But it was God working his plan. And in this case, ultimately, presenting him before his throne faultless and receiving that crown of righteousness. See, the point in all of this, whether we are delivered from the immediate trial or whether this trial does become the occasion of him taking me home to him, the question becomes, will he find me having faith no matter what? Will I say, Lord, whatever you do in this, let it be your will, and that will give you a testimony. That will turn to something that gives you glory. So I remind you, what is the context here? Daniel goes through this because of his commitment to the Lord. This isn't about us going out and doing our own thing, putting ourselves in some situation because we were stupid. Daniel didn't say, I'm going to test God on this and run and jump in the den. But as he walked close to the Lord, that brought this on. This is about standing for Jesus in the midst of a world that's going crazy. And we're going to see more and more of it. But if we will just stay faithful, if we will just stay close to him and walk in fellowship with him and not compromise, yes, the persecutions may indeed increase. But God will be faithful. He'll be with us through them all. And our prayers, he'll use them for his purposes. And we'll be home with him. In his timing, in his way, we'll be home with him. But meanwhile, will we stay strong? Are you this morning facing a lion's den? Meaning, because of your stand for him, it's brought you some repercussions at work. Because of your desire to serve him, something's going on, a trial, something. What is God looking for you in the midst of that? Faith. Will you just trust him? Oh, I know you don't see how it's going to work out, and you're wondering, but he's saying, will you trust me? An author that I really appreciate, Tim Hansel, says, one of the ways that our faith expresses itself is by our ability to be still, to be present, and not to panic or lose perspective. God still does his best work in the most difficult of circumstances. D.L. Moody says, real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. There's two verses that touch me in this text. One was verse 10, where we read that Daniel prayed, gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Do you have a custom? I don't mean a ritual, a dried up routine, but do you have a determined, a set walk with the Lord that you guard and maintain? That's all Daniel was about. And of course, the second verse being 11:33 in Hebrews, we won't turn there, but where it said, and through faith, he stopped the mouth of lion. All of this is because he believed in God. It kind of brought it upon himself because, you know, it came upon him because he believed in God, but that very belief saw him through it and was used as a testimony to proclaim to the whole world that it's God who reigns and is in charge. I encourage this morning, will you trust in the face of persecution? And these times will wax worse and worse that we're in. But I ask you, I encourage you, have faith in the face of the lions. How? Know Jesus. And know Him more and more. The more you know Him, the more you'll trust Him. The more you trust Him, the more you'll know Him, and it's this awesome, awesome snowball that gets rolling in your life. Thank God that He's faithful. And thank God that we can have faith in the face of the lions. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. But before we stand, I'm going to ask you for a moment to consider. And I'm wondering if indeed any of this has spoken to you where you're at. Because it's my privilege to not just hold forward the Word of God, but to encourage you to rest in it, to apply it. And only God knows, but I wonder if there's somebody this morning that in terms of the context here, you are in the lion's den. Meaning, perhaps because of your stand for the Lord, you're experiencing some persecution. Perhaps you're going through a trial that in particular has come about because maybe you don't enter into the jokes at work. Because of that, you've been ostracized. Or maybe just, I don't know what it might be. It could be a myriad of things, but all I know I'm saying is, you relate this morning. You relate to this idea of going into a trial, a circumstance, a pressure here, a situation, a lion's den. Because of your stand, because of your faith, whatever it might be, you relate. I want to pray for you. And only God knows the details, but you're in a situation of pressure and trial because you've been standing for the Lord and you don't want to compromise in it. I want to pray for you. Again, only God knows the details, but He does know. But I, as your pastor, am privileged to pray for you. If this applies to you, stand up for a moment. Thank you for being bold enough to stand. Is there anybody else that you recognize, hey, I'm going through this simply because I'm standing for the Lord. I don't want to compromise in this, but it's brought some things into my life and all. Is there anybody else? Awesome. What a couple of you brothers and sisters that are around these that have stood up, will you lay hands on? Apparently, we have all women. Not a single guy here, huh? Not a single guy here is in a lion's den. Well, that's great. That's great. Anybody else want to stand? Not too late. Okay, for those who are standing, hopefully you've got some brothers and sisters with hands upon you. Let's pray. Father, we lift up to You these who have stood up. You've struck a chord in their lives. Lord, we do lift them to You. Lord, I pray that You, in a very real way and a fresh way, Lord, would soak them right now in Your sufficiency, that they'd have a deeper and a fresher awareness of all they have in You. That, Lord, You promise that even as we go through this, we don't go through it alone. You don't leave, You don't forsake, but You're right there with them. And Lord, our prayer is You'll take these circumstances and You will indeed use them for Your glory. Use these situations for a testimony unto You. That as these stand strong because of You, not in their own works, not in their own strength, but because of You, that people want to know, hey, how do You do this? What's making the difference? How are You so peaceful in the midst of the storm? When they say, is God able? Lord, help them to proclaim, God is able. And may their lives be a testimony that You are able, Lord. So we're asking You to protect and guide and work and direct them through this. And through it, Lord, may it all indeed give You glory. Lord, we lift them to You, Lord. And Lord, now for all of us, Lord, thank You. Thank You that it is the case, Lord, for each one who's received Christ as Savior. You hold us in Your hand and nobody and nothing can pluck us out. And You don't leave or forsake. And we can come boldly before Your throne. Therefore, we don't have to be worried about what man can do because we find grace in You. So, Lord, soak each one in Your mercy and Your grace, Your strength, Your love. And for all of us, that same thing, Lord, just work Your work for Your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and close in a word of praise. If you need some more specific prayer, there'll be prayer partners available by the prayer room. May God bless your week.
joy of the Lord will be my strength, and I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace, and the joy of the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.